Awesome. Hey, we're going to come around the word this morning. Who's excited to hear the word? Nobody? One. Who's excited to hear the word this morning? Oh my goodness, you had me worried. That's awesome. Hey, let's welcome our beloved pastor, Pastor Andrew, as he brings us around the word. A big welcome, church.
Well, I'll turn to the person next to you and tell them that they are awesome. Give the creative team a hand. Come on. Give them a yell, shout out for joy. Brilliant. They get here early, you know, on a cold morning. I think I dropped my daughter off here at 7:30. Not everyone was here at that time, but it's cold at 7:30, right? And who likes the wave? My wife just says she feels like she's going to jump. A wave's about to hit her. Feeling like that? How you doing? Who's full of faith? I'll try that one more time. Who's full of faith? Beautiful. Because this morning over the last month, we've been tackling a few things. Blessing, faith, and I want to share on faith again this morning. This is what we've been doing. This is our theme for the month. And my title is Faith is Everything. Is that all right? And we're going to go to a very well-known passage on faith. Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 3. And it's a profound passage because it just describes faith. It just describes the reality of what faith is. And if for any of us in this place, if we're believers and we don't get our head around faith, honestly, it's the currency of the kingdom of God. It's the air you breathe in the kingdom of God. It's the foundation of the kingdom of God. Everything is wrapped around faith. And Hebrews 11 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understood that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Everyone say visible. So I want to tackle some words here, and I'm sure you've heard many messages on this passage and on faith, I'm sure, but the reality is, it's an area in our lives that we need to make sure that is active in our world, that our faith is something that is real to us. So I want to look at that first word, substance. Everyone say substance. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The best way to describe that substance in the context of the Word of God is it's another word for subfloor. Or foundation. Who's a builder in this place? Okay, who's built a house in this place? You've had a house built for you. You understand that on any foundation, there is a subfloor. There is a foundation on any building. Sorry, there is a foundation. And from that, everything is built. And this is really what this word is saying. This is starting with, when we understand faith, is everything to do with our Christian world is built on a foundation of faith. Simple as that. If you can't get your head around it, if you don't want to open yourself up to it, if you're cagey about it, if you live in a reality of a world where you have to be, everything has to be proven, you are going to struggle in the kingdom of God. Simple as that. It's the foundation. That's what it says. It says, now faith is the foundation of everything you hope for. Everything you hope for in God. Simple as that. So it brings us back to an actual, very base point. If we can't believe that God can create something in our world, we don't believe that He's behind everything in our life, then we're going to have a struggle with faith. The reality is, from the very first moment that you gave your life to the Lord, you had to believe that God was God. How many people saw God before they got saved? I know the Apostle Paul did, right? So some of you might. You might have a testimony. You might have a vision of God, a vision of Christ. How many people in this room physically saw God and he spoke to you before you got saved? Raise your hand. Oh, wow. Great. We're going to hear about that testimony one day. It'll be fantastic. But I actually didn't. I heard the words, the song playing in my car when I crashed, Highway to Hell by AC/DC. And that made me aware of God, but that literally was the song playing. And it gave me a fright and a scare, and I opened my life up to God in a car crash. But the reality is it wasn't God wasn't singing Highway to Hell by AC/DC. some of us would think the some AC/DC fans in the house. But the reality is, so for most of us in this room, you accepted Christ, but he didn't prove himself to you physically. Is that right? Raise your hand if that's true. Okay. Most of us in this place. So that gives us an understanding that we have, most of us have taken the step in faith, and this is what God wants us to keep doing. Our faith supports our whole Christian life. It doesn't just support your salvation, it supports everything you do in God. Whenever you open your Bible, if you do not have faith that it is the Word of God, and if you've got a lack of that in that area, then you're taking away some of that power for what God can do in your life. Are you with me? Simple as that. If you open the Bible, and if you think that the Bible is as good as the new idea sitting on your coffee table or some your favorite book, you have to have it as a greater importance in your life. So everything in our Christian world is built on this foundation, and that's what it starts with. Now let's look at the next definition, the word evidence. It says the evidence of things not seen. So faith is an affirmation response to God's will and word. The reality is, faith is when we actually grab a hold of the word of God and we actually possess it as something that's real and true. It becomes almost evidence to us. It becomes something that's more than just something that's out there. It becomes something that's real, something that is true to us. That's when we go through battles and struggles and tests. It's us accepting God's word, accepting its truth, accepting its reality over circumstances. That's what it is. Simple as that. That you actually accept, when you're up against something, you accept God's word as a reality over your circumstances. And it says in John chapter 20, verse 20, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Amen? So it's getting our minds on that. So you've got to have faith in God's word before there is evidence of it in your life. Simple as that. If you're refusing to believe in God and who he is and who his word is, it's going to be very hard to see evidence of how God's going to work in your life. Simple as that. There are literally millions of people out there that they believe in God, but they don't have faith in who God is and his word, and therefore they've never accepted salvation. So they've stepped out of that realm. Simple as that. True? There's actually a lot of people. Most people I talk to out there actually believe that there's a God, but they're not convinced that God is God, and therefore they haven't accepted that belief and haven't turned it into an evidence in their life. Most people in this room, I mean, faith is not something that's abnormal for us. Natural faith is something that's actually quite normal. Everyone came on a car today. Most of us traveled in a car. True? Reality? We've got faith in all sorts of things. I had faith this week that if I parked my car out on the street and I came back to it, it would be normal. But someone came along and took a huge chunk out of it and drove off. So I need to have faith that someone will come and own up. Otherwise, they're going to pay a $700 access. But anyway, I've dealt with it, right? I'm dealing with it. I'm getting through it. Just parked it out the front there and there wasn't a small dent. I got faith that the neighbor's cameras picked it up. Anyway, I'm past that. I'm past that, right? I'm talking myself into a place of faith. But obviously faith in the spiritual realm is what we're talking about. Our spiritual faith needs to have an object. Your faith has an object, right? It has to be invested in something. And faith has got to be invested. Now, our spiritual faith is invested in the foundation of God for our lives. That's the object of our faith. It's easy for us as believers to let that faith dissipate into something else. But the reality, we got to keep bringing ourselves back to the fact that our faith has to have an object, and that object that we put, that foundation for our faith is God, amen? And it requires the Word of God constantly to keep us in that place where our faith, its object is God. And it even says in Acts 4:12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So if you're in this place and you think salvation comes, but we understand through the Word of God that salvation comes through Jesus Christ, and we put our faith in that, amen? And we fight for that. And you have conversations with people who go, oh, that's ridiculous. How can it just be God? There can't be just one way. But you stand there and you go, no. I believe what Jesus says. I've got faith that I am saved and He is the only way. We fight for it all the time. But the reality of what I'm trying to get you to do is you need to fight for it in every area of your life. Come on. Some of you fight for it on salvation, absolutely. You might fight for it on social media with some issue, but we're going to fight for that object of our faith in every aspect and area of our life. It's the foundation of everything. Everything. We've got to actually just say, you know what? No, I've got to fight. I've got to fight. So every word is key in this. Now, I'm going to look at that. We know in verse 1, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want to look at that word evidence, because that word evidence actually has a meaning, not just the way that we see it. The actual meaning of that word in the original is, it actually means more a conviction. Everyone say conviction. Now, faith is the substance of things. So faith is the foundation of things, of everything you're hoping for in God. So let's put it this way. So faith is the foundation of everything that you're hoping for in God. And it's the conviction of everything you're not seeing right now. Are you hearing me? It's the conviction of everything you're not seeing right now that's happening through the promises of God. But you've got a conviction in your heart that God can do it. Are you with me? Are you with me? See, this is where faith becomes something real to us. This is what God's trying to tell us. This word evidence, conviction of things not seen. Conviction is relating to the present. And hope is relating to the future. So God is the hope. He builds the foundation in everything in your future. Every hope that you have in your life is built on the foundation of God. God is the hope for all of that. And this evidence, but God wants us to have a conviction right now, in our reality right now, that God can turn these things around. And you've got to walk with that. So the source of all your hope is God. And faith is the conviction, knowing right now, you know what, I can believe this. I can read this word, and I can believe that it can happen. Are you with me? And it's related to what you can't see right now. Faith is never about what you can see. It's about what you can't see. Come on. If you can't see anything happening right now, and you're believing God in areas of your life, well, that's faith. If you can see it happening right now, that's the principles of the Word of God working. Are you with me? So you could think, oh, well, but so sometimes we think, we just get all negative because we think right now we don't see anything happening. Well, that's faith. And we've got to have a conviction in our hearts that God is the foundation of everything. Therefore, He has a heart to open up these doors. Now, we all know in here, I'm not going to get into it, how God answers prayers and God does things. He never does it the way I think he's going to do it. Never. I don't think I've ever seen it happen exactly the way God, I think it's going to happen. God surprises me all the time. So this conviction is vital. And it gives us two examples here. We go to verse 2, and it says, "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." So this conviction is paramount. Now I want to invite, where's Joe? Someone go grab Joe Garcia. I need to, yeah, no, she won't be preaching yet. It's sorted. Someone go grab her, yep. So the result is that we've actually got to have a conviction in our hearts about what we're believing. And a conviction is something that's real. It's not something that you waver every second day, you're wavering every second day. You're thinking the Word of God, you're not thinking the Word of God, you're thinking, yes, maybe, there's, I haven't seen anything change in my circumstances. I haven't seen anything materialize the way I think it's going to materialize. I haven't been involved in any of that, because all of that is what you fight when you stand in faith. Are you with me? That's why faith is a fight. For us not to believe that, for you to if the reality was that you prayed and a bang, it was there and what have you, there wouldn't be that conviction, there wouldn't be that fight that we have. It would be something that we just find easy and God just supplies and drops it into our lap, and that's how we get it. So let me continue. It says, Hebrews 11, verse 1 to 3 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." I love this point. I actually love this point, verse 2, because what God is actually saying, he's actually picking something out to make sure that all of us that are reading this, every human being that's ever been created, understands this point. How many people were here when God created the world? Okay, let me ask another question. Was there a human being on the earth when God created it? No. So what God says right here is he takes an example that hits us between the eyes. He's basically saying, all right, I've explained to you what faith is. And he says, "For by it elders obtain a good testimony." He's talking about leaders and people like us. He says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." What he's giving us an example, he says, every one of you, there is no human being on this earth, but you all have to believe that I created this earth and I am the creator of all things. None of you can evidence it. It's impossible for us to ever see the evidence of it ourselves because we weren't even made. But yet you have to believe it. Come on. How in the face is that? God's actually picked something. He's going, "Oh, you smart Alex. You wanna talk about faith and how it works and how you have to be and how, you know, science has done this." And what he says, "Well, how about I pick something that I'll explain that you need to believe in before you were even created, according to my word." And he says, "I want you to believe in that. And you're standing on it right now." Everyone look at the ground. So every one of us in this place, you've got to understand. God's trying to tell us what faith is. He says this absence of evidence and this absence of circumstance of seeing things and physical touch and taste. He said, that is the reality of my faith. If you choose not to live in that realm, if you decide that you will never go down that road, I will not believe in something unless I know it's going to happen. You might be believing for a better pay increase this year, knowing that you're going to get one anyway. You know what I mean? But that's great. But there are some things in our life that we truly have to pray and pray into that there is just no evidence and there's no way that it could happen. And that's what God's encouraging us to do, to step into it, to step into areas. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it actually comes down to us actually praying and getting a hold of God's will and actually praying into these areas. And when's the last time you prayed for something that there is just no evidence that it could happen right now? Come on. Good. Don't be afraid of this. This is actually where God lives. And he's trying to explain to all the human beings on this earth that this is how it works. No human being was a witness to creation. Yet we all choose. We all have to believe it. Did you know what true faith really entails? Let me just take it one step further. True faith actually not only takes us understanding that God is the foundation of everything, not only having a conviction for the reality of God turning something into nothing now in our lives, actually one step further, it takes obedience. Come on. Actually, God hits us in the face with obedience. And let me just explain. I'm going to go into a testimony here. The very first testimony, because in Hebrews 11, the Bible starts talking about a whole bunch of faith heroes, right? And he starts with Cain and Abel. We heard a bit about Cain and Abel last week, right? And Cain and Abel, look, it's great. They had, yeah, Cain and Abel had a great testimony because Cain was believing for rain to come and build a big boat and an ark and float it on the water, right? Wrong. Cain was waiting, and Abel were waiting for a sea to part because the Egyptians were behind them and they were running them down with horses and they needed to walk through the river and they needed the water to be parted, right? Wrong. So what? When you look at the Word of God and you read the very first story, sure, it's chronologically set up, but what is the faith that's required between Cain and Abel? What is the faith? There isn't any faith that we can evidently see and to do with things. It is basically a story. It's simply a story about obedience. You had Cain and you had Abel. And if we go to Genesis and we look at it, you actually see the story here. It says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, it says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Now, when you look at this story, you've got Cain and you've got Abel. And the reality is, they were both understood that God required the first fruits. We heard about that last week. God required the first fruits. He required the best offering. And they understood that. They had heard the word. They had. It says in Genesis 3, verse 17, that the ground was cursed. So therefore, the first fruits needed to be an animal. It needed to be something that was given to God that was a part of getting redemption. So it was a huge deal to God. So Cain and Abel both understood that. And what the difference was is Cain decided to do it his way. Abel goes and gets the very first, gives it to God, kills it, and gives his portion to God. And Cain runs off and goes, you know what? Yeah, I'll do something a little bit better. I won't be the first. It might be the first. It might be a better spot on the. It could have been a better offering. He wasn't an evil person. He decided to do it his way. So he turns up with his offering, and God stands back, and God goes, well, my word was that you give the first fruits. And he looks at Cain, and Cain looks at Abel. And he says, your offering is not acceptable. So the only faith lesson in Cain and Abel simply was obedience. Are you hearing me? There's no other reason. There's no other reason. He is the very first faith hero. And his reality is that he obeyed God's word over doing it his own way. Cain literally went out and decided to do it his own way. And he actually said it was good fruit, but it wasn't the first fruits. It wasn't the best. It wasn't what God required. It wasn't what his word required. It wasn't what God had asked for. And he chose to do something different. You know, sometimes our faith comes down to the reality of us just believing God's word and obeying it. Come on. Just maybe in the realm of faith in our life, it actually comes down to being obedient to God's word. Come on. We can put faith into some sort of choice or some sort of decision. I'm going to believe in faith now. I'm going to believe in faith for this. I'm going to think about faith for that. We add it to it. But the reality of faith, if you look about it, it's actually understanding that God is the foundation of everything in our life. It's actually believing the evidence that God's promises are more real than our reality right now and standing on that. And then it's getting to a point in your heart and your conviction that you are going to obey God over everything else. Come on. So let me ask some questions. You know, how many times have God put something in your spirit to do that you haven't done? Because quite often, when it comes to faith, we think, oh, we just missed out because we didn't pray and involve God in that. But sometimes it actually comes down to a point where we were asked to do something and we didn't do it, therefore we didn't release the faith. Come on. When Cain and Abel, I'm telling you, Cain was not an evil person. He was after that. He killed his brother, so let's not go on. But at that point, he got all upset, and it was simply because he did not do, God chastised him for not doing God's word to that point. Then he went on and allowed that to turn into something nasty in his world. Are you hearing me? He got bitter and allowed things to come. You know, the reality is in our world, faith is something sometimes God is putting something on your heart to do, and we've actually got to be obedient to it. Come on. Right through the Word of God, you see men and women that have done incredible things for God. Incredible things for God, simply because, do you know what? More than anything, they're obedient to God over everything else. They believe that God's voice, God is the source of all things, and their conviction was that God's reality was over everything else, and they chose to believe that, and then they obeyed it. They acted on it. You know, we know in the New Testament it says, faith without works is dead. Literally, it actually means that. It means if you actually don't obey God, then what's the point? There's millions of people out there right now, millions of people out there that believe that there's a God, and some of them would have actually heard the message of salvation, but they haven't obeyed it. Are you with me? And the reality is they haven't been able to walk into the blessing and the miracle of salvation, because there are people literally who would know it, but they choose not to obey it. I'm going to do it my way, like Cain said. Ah, there's a better way to live. I know there's a better way. There's my way. There's another way that I can choose. I'll be doing that. Are you all right? I'm going to grab Joe for a second. Thank you, Joe. And I'm just going to ask. I know Joe is someone in this place that she's experienced healing. True? Can we grab this mic here?
Thank you.
Your faith in that worked. But I've got faith in Rob. So let me just ask a question. First of all, you were healed. How many years ago?
11.
11 years ago. What did you have?
I had multiple sclerosis.
Okay. So give us some circumstances. Give us the diagnosis. How were you diagnosed with multiple sclerosis?
Okay. I was 19 years old. I just started to lose coordination, and then just kind of happened over a couple of weeks. And then one morning I woke up, I was totally shaking. And I went down to I drove to my sister's house, shaking, right, from Glebe to Auburn, driving. Yay, aren't you glad you're on the road? And my sister says, get down to the doctor. I went to the GP and he said, just a second. he rings a neurologist and he says, oh, the neurologist is waiting for you right now. So I drove from that doctor to the next doctor. Neurologist said, we better put you in hospital right now. I'm like, what? I'm fine. I'm just shaking a bit. Maybe I'm a bit, I need to be fitter or something, you know. And anyway, I refused, as I do. And anyway, within 24 hours, I lost my ability to walk. And so I called the neurologist and he sent an ambulance to my home. And my dad had never told me before that he'd love me, never. And the ambulance came, wheeled me into the ambulance. And just before the doors were to close on the ambulance, my dad goes, you know, I love you. Boom, the doors close of the ambulance. I'm like, I'm dying. I'm so dying. My dad said he loved me. Anyway, went to hospital, and then after, I just did tests after tests, lumbar puncture, MRIs, evoked potentials, lots and lots of tests. After 8 weeks, they called me in and they said, ah, you've got multiple sclerosis. And at that point, I couldn't walk. I'd lost my ability to talk, sort of, like I slurred, couldn't read, my eyes couldn't follow a line. And I stayed, like they put me on very high doses of prednisone, and I stayed like that for about 9 months. So after 8 weeks, they were going to put me in a nursing home. But my sister-in-law, who'd only been married to my brother for about a year, said, no, I'll look after her. So I went to move in with my sister-in-law and my brother, newlyweds, on their honeymoon year. I know, how gorgeous are they? And so she fed me, she bathed me, she looked after me. She did all my washing and all that for a year. And by the end of that year, I got ability back to walk a little bit. And then I went back to uni thinking, oh, I can do this. I couldn't do it. And then, so then in all that time, they put me on permanent disability support pension, you know, and I couldn't remain living with my brother and sister-in-law forever. And so I got to a point where I could kind of take care of myself, but I still wasn't able to walk very well. So I was in and out of a wheelchair or, you know, with those push cart things. So my sister wrote a letter to our local MP and they got me a Department of Housing property that was wheelchair enabled within 3 weeks. How good was that?
Wow.
Yeah. MPs are pretty good, right? They can make stuff happen.
All right. So I think everyone in this world would probably, hearing that, that's a pretty well-framed world in terms of someone who has a disease. The medical world has diagnosed it, it's been tested, it's proven. So at what point, just tell us a little bit about the journey where the healing happened. Just tell us what started it in you? What started that healing?
I think I never wanted to accept that this was going to be my lot, because the neurologist said to me that first day, you have to come to terms with just managing your life. Don't finish uni, don't get married, don't have children. Just your life will be, and you'll die young, so, you know, just don't make any plans. So in that minute, I went, no way. Inside, right?
Mm-hmm. And would you call that a conviction?
I think it was desperation. Desperate conviction, yes. But at that point, while I knew God, like I grew up as a Catholic, I didn't understand that Jesus died for my healing. I didn't know that at that point. I just thought, there's got to be a way. And I went all around the world, right? I researched Buddhism, Hinduism, New Ageism, every ism there is. I researched it because I thought there had to be a way. Until I found Jesus, and he is the way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And So I do remember being at Hillsong, because I went to Hillsong when I could drive, and, you know, when I was able, I went. When I wasn't able, I didn't go. But I do remember I was one day in worship, and I heard the audible voice of God say to me, "I will heal you, and I will give you another baby to prove it." And I just went, okay.
It's great.
I receive it. Because my first two babies that are sitting there, after I gave birth to them, I had, you know, another exacerbation for another 12 months where I was incapable of looking after them or myself. I moved back with my parents. And thank God they lived in the Blue Mountains where they have like MS Society did nothing for me, by the way. Nothing. Wanted to put me in a nursing home. And then sent me a thing in the mail to say, would you support this late young woman who's going in a nursing home? Why? You did nothing to help me.
So tell us about your healing. Exactly.
Healing.
When did you know?
When did I know? After I had an MRI 11 years ago. And the reason I had the MRI, Gabriel was about 3 years old. He woke up in the middle of the night with a fever. I was trying to give him Panadol. He was refusing, screaming. I just fell, collapsed, and hit my head on the tiles. Bill doesn't wake up for much, but he woke up for this noise and the screaming child. He ran out and he called an ambulance because I was on the ground, passed out. I don't know what happened to Gabriel. I went to hospital and then they did another MRI because they thought I had another MS attack. And after they came out with the MRI, they found that all the scarring that had been in the previous MRIs was gone. So the symptoms I was feeling at that point was concussion because I got a big bump on the head. But who knows, a good bash on the head can knock some stuff out of you, right?
No. Beautiful. Now, something I know about you too is you've got some things you're believing for right now.
Absolutely.
Healing.
Yes.
So you've had an undeniable healing.
Yes.
But you've got a couple, I think, of things that you're still standing in faith, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, can you tell us?
More incurable diseases.
Right. And you're on medication for some of those and whatever.
Yes, yeah. So I've been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes and a couple of other autoimmune diseases, which I think have pretty much gone. But I'm really believing for God to take away the diabetes. Look, he's taken one incurable disease. I'm sure he can do another one. I know it, right? So back then when I had MS, it was really hard for me to read the word because my eyes didn't work very often. But when they did work, I read the word. And then more than that, more than reading the word for me at that point, I just used to say the ones that were, you know, Isaiah 53, by his stripes I am healed. You know, I said it all the time, right? So now it's different. I've got perfect use of my eyes. So I'm reading the word all the time. And, you know, back then we didn't have the internet. Now you can just play, you know, whoever you want reading it. Reading the scriptures to you, read healing scriptures, and I just lay there in bed and listen. How good is that, right? Like, we have got so much available for us. I mean, the word of God changes. Where is it where it says the word of God
is unchangeable?
Yeah, it's unchangeable, but is like a double-edged sword cutting between marrow and flesh and soul and spirit, right? Where's that one?
Ephesians.
So, I know that the Word of God changes. When I had MS, I wasn't capable of reading the Bible every day. But, hey, I put Colin Buchanan on. Remember the Lord. You know. So, however you can get the Word of God into your heart, get it in. But if you can read or if you can listen, get it in as much as you can. And I'm still, I honestly believe that God's truth is there, right, about healing, because we get saved, we get healed. I actually heard somewhere that the Hebrew word of saving means healing. I don't know where I heard that, but anyway. So God's truth is here, right, about our healing. And we might experience a reality of down here. You know, it's not God's truth. But either we can bring our reality up to God's truth, or we can bring our reality, you know, like we can just stay in this reality and go, oh, well, I've got this disease and that's it. Or we can say, you know what? The Word of God says that I can be free.
Yeah,
and if it says I can be free, I'm going to keep claiming it until it's mine, until it goes from my head to my heart, yeah, or until it goes from my soul to my spirit, or my spirit to my body. I don't know, however long it takes, it doesn't matter how long it takes, just get on the journey and keep claiming. And
beautiful.
Now, like yesterday I went horse riding and my hip started hurting. I'm like, command you in the name of Jesus, you do not hurt me. I'm going to ride this horse. So anything that comes up now, I'm just speaking to it, because God gives us that authority. If he didn't, like I think it's Matthew 11:23, speak to the mountain. Sometimes we have mountains in our lives, sickness, money, challenges, relationship challenges, and the devil wants to steal all of that from us, you know. And are we going to go to battle with our husband or our wife, or are we going to go to battle with the devil? Because the devil's the one we're supposed to be fighting.
It's good.
You know, not our family. Yeah, so.
Well, give her a hand. Thanks, Joe. Legend. But sometimes we need to hear something personal, don't we? Come on. Sometimes we need to be involved in something that's real and something's personal. And sometimes we just need to pray and believe and speak to it. The reality is, friend, we've got to use this life that God's given us. Use this faith that God has put in our lives. We need to believe it's the foundation of everything. We need to believe that right now, that get a conviction for the reality of God doing something in our lives right now. And then ultimately, when we get that conviction, when we get the opportunity, we need to obey God's word. Amen? Beautiful. Well, that's it for me. I'm going to hand it over to Mona. Give her a hand as she comes. Few more things we're going to do on the set.
Awesome. What an awesome word. Who's got faith in the house? Who's got faith this morning? Who's believing for great things? Awesome. Great word. And amazing testimony. Just incredible testimony. Hey, we're going to come around our tithe in a little bit later, but right now we're going to hear some announcements. Who's ready to hear some what's happening in the life of our church? Yeah, come on. Hey, coming up next week, we have got our very last Lifestyle of Freedom for this first course. Who's been a part of that? Who's been going along and enjoying that? Yeah, awesome. And we've had